Comic books and graphic novels, their book trade cousins, are no laughing matter. The characters between these covers are usually troubled souls, and the situations they confront range from disturbing to dire. Welcome to Copyright Clearance and his podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The scenario for the comic book business, though, is anything but dire. According to a recently published report on the North American market, in 2015, sales topped $1 billion for the first time. Calvin Reed, Publishers Weekly senior news editor and PW Comics World co-editor, joins me with the details and analysis on what makes the comics market pop. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Calvin Reed.
Hi, Chris. Always good to talk to you.
Well, looking forward to this. This kind of gets us beyond our usual element into an area that you know very well indeed. And what caught our eye was the reporting you did earlier in July on this crossing the threshold of the $1 billion mark. What factors have played a role in that growth?
This is something that really we have seen growing in, since, I would say, the late 90s, but really for this most recent kind of market analysis, which was done, by the way, by ICV2, and it was a joint report by ICV2 and Comicron. They're two pop culture trade websites. It's a combination of the mainstreaming of comics publishing and comics reading, the expansion beyond the one genre market, the superhero market that has sort of traditionally been has dominated the American comic book market for a variety of reasons, which we can go into. And its expansion into more genres, the power of librarians, and I have to say, at the end of the day, the evolution and the development of the comics industry as a part of the book trade.
Well, there's a lot going on there. And what we're talking about here, $1 billion, pretty soon it adds up to real money. That is a significant number, particularly because in an environment that has seen sort of slow, sometimes flat growth for just book trade, generally speaking, that's a 10% jump year over year from 2014 to 2015. So this is worth discussing. And as you point out, this figure represents the traditional comic books, the one I bought when I was a kid, but it also includes a lot of other material that falls under that umbrella.
Well, yes, the numbers that we're seeing here, it's really split between the traditional comic book industry, the comic shop market, which is also known as the direct market, and the book trade. And let me be clear, book format comics, both comics sold through the traditional book trade and those also book format comics sold through the direct market or comic shop market, which is essentially the comic shop guy that we know from The Simpsons. But the comic shop market is a network of about 2,000 comic shops around the country that are primarily served by Diamond Comics distributors.
Right. And the other piece of the market, that book trade market, that's the graphic novel. It includes manga as well.
Especially manga. And manga is actually a key medium in this whole story. But yeah, I think it's broken. It's not quite half, actually. I think there were about $350 million in book format trade orders, while there were about $185 million graphic novels sold through the comic shop market. And then I think the total comics periodical market was about $385 million. So for the combined $1.03 billion, a rise up from $935 million for 2014.
Right. So where is the growth the strongest, and what are the weak spots?
Well, let's start with the strong spots. What's driving this growth is the book trade. What we're seeing here, as I said before, the mainstream of comics, we're seeing an explosion of demand for comics other than superhero comics. And now, this is not to knock the superhero trade, but what's happened as comics have found their way more and more beyond the hardcore nerddom, such as myself, what we're finding is there are more consumers out here. They want superhero comics, but there are more and more people who want other kinds of comics. They want other genres. They want mysteries. They want kids' comics, which is a tremendously explosive subsection of the book market. But I think, according to the report, graphic novels in the book trade, in the traditional books trade, were up 23%. And you're not going to see that kind of growth anywhere else in the book trade. Kids' graphic novels, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but certainly about three quarters through 2015, the numbers that I saw, the kids' graphic novels were up over 30%. So they're driving an already hot market.
And the weak spots then, where there might be some...
The weak spots, well, digital sales actually, much as we're seeing in the prose world, digital sales of comics, and not quite as developed as prose ebooks. I think in 2014, the market was about $100 million in digital comic sales. That market actually is dominated by Amazon's comics marketplace, Comixology. Surprise, surprise. So there's been a decline in digital sales, about a 10% drop. I think it was $90 million in digital sales in 2015, and comic sales by periodical comics through newsstands, the, as you were saying, the place where you and I bought our comics many, many years ago, that has continued to decline as a marketplace. But I think they still sold about $20 million in periodical comics last year.
Well, we could share that business and be very happy men indeed, right?
Yes. But it's a much, you know, different marketplace now than when you and I were buying comic books that cost 10 cents.
Right. Okay. Well, 12 cents in my
day. All right. Well, most of my childhood were 25 cents. So we'll go with that.
All right. We can argue about all of that in another podcast. But so digital is weaker than one might anticipate, given it's 2016. So is this another case of the return of print, or did print just never really go away in this market?
Well, in comics, print never went away. I mean, and not just for romantic notions. Really, I've heard years ago, I heard one publisher describe comics and graphic novels as the closest thing to multimedia in a bookstore. And I think what's happening here is you're seeing both digital and print combining in ways. Just a quick bit of history. Prior to about 2011, comics retailers were terrified of digital and thought it would actually destroy the comics marketplace because of their convenience. But that turned out to not be the case. When DC Comics started distributing comics day and date, you know, digital at the same time as print, actually it sent droves of fans into bookstores and comic shops looking for the print. So digital has served as a tremendous sampler for print in the comics marketplace.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think the other sort of surprising piece of all of this on this market report for the comics book business, Calvin Reed, is the assertion by the surveyors that the audience is broadening here. And when,
yes.
When I read that, it reminded me that we have to update our mental picture of who reads comic books in the same way that we need to, you know, update the mental picture of who plays video games. We're not just talking about teenage boys in
absolutely
know,
not.
Parents' basements anymore. So get into that just a bit.
Absolutely. Well, the key word, and we're going to look at it in all of its ramifications, is diversity. And I mean diversity among the people who are buying comics. But I mean, as I was saying earlier, diversity in genres. The American marketplace since the late 1950s has essentially been a superhero marketplace for lots of reasons. But that has changed. And part of what changed that has been the power of manga entering the U.S. market in the 2000s, late 90s. The Japanese comics market completely draws American. It's a multi-billion dollar business, and it's almost entirely book format comics. They don't have the floppy, the periodical that we call the comic book. Japanese comics are designed to appeal to everyone, in particular girls. And the introduction into this market of what the Japanese call shoujo, which are just book format comics aimed at girls, through the bookstore market, particularly through chains like the late chain Borders, which was a key channel, it really ignited the sales because for the first time, you know, since the American comic book market had ignored girls for so long, girls came to this format with a vengeance. And immediately, trade book publishers saw that you could sell significant numbers of book format comics in the book trade. Really, you know, comics like Naruto, Sailor Moon, these comics were immediately selling 30, 40, 50,000 copies per volume. And manga is a multi-volume business, a serial business. So these, you know, these fans just kept coming back.
Well, it's fascinating. And, you know, I guess that begins to answer one final question I had, Calvin Reed, which is about the kinds of titles that are driving this growth. You've begun to cite a few. And I wonder, too, whether the comic book market, like the book trade market, is really dependent on hits. Are there titles that just absolutely take over?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, even the American comics periodical market, the traditional comic book industry, is also a hit-driven, you know, marketplace. Though it's hits in these traditional superhero genres that we've come to know, you know, Superman, Batman, Captain America. But what's happened over the last 10 to 15 years is that this, as comics have been previewed and covered more in mainstream media, as new fans come to the medium, they want a broader variety of comics. Nothing wrong with superhero comics, but they want genres like Saga, the incredible series published by Image Books. That's a combination science fiction, fantasy, adventure series written by Brian K. Vaughan. And I'm embarrassed. I'm forgetting his artist, the artist who works with him. But this has been a huge hit for Image Comics. Image Comics itself, an independent comics publisher, has really come out with a broad variety of comics that are selling, and they're non-superhero comics. Once again, manga from Viz Media. I mentioned Naruto. Kodansha, which is another Japanese publisher who publishes from the U.S., a series called Attack on Titan, which is about giant monsters that attack a village. This is one of the a multi-million dollar global seller. Sex Criminals, a series, an ongoing series about a couple that can stop time when they have sex, and then they rob banks. I mean, I could go on and on. Brian K. Vaughan has a number of series. He's a new series now called Paper Girls, which is sort of a time travel. Gene Yang, American-born Chinese, that was the first graphic novel nominated for a National Book Award. He's a best-selling author. There's so Raina Telgemeier. Raina has a new book out from Scholastic, also for kids, called Ghosts. The first printing is 500,000 copies. These are not the comics that we read when we were kids, but their audience, since it's in the bookstore market, that's where the readers are, not in the comic shop markets, which is a great channel, but is, you know, is a narrower channel. The readers are in the book trade, and comics are in the book trade in numbers like we've never seen before. So they're getting readers like never before.
Well, we appreciate your sharing that with us, and we certainly enjoy the enthusiasm, the infectious quality of your reporting. Calvin Reed, he is the senior news editor for Publishers Weekly, co-editor for PW Comics World, and sort of our chief go-to for the insights in the comic book world. Calvin Reed, thanks so much for joining us on Beyond the Book.
Always great to talk to you, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center with its subsidiaries RightsDirect in the Netherlands and Ixis in the United Kingdom. CCC is a global leader in content workflow, document delivery, text and data mining, and rights licensing technology. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burris Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.